This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ladies, welcome to another episode of Perspectives with Sherry. I'm your host, Sherry Ryan, and I am honored tonight to bring forth this episode where we have a very special guest. Tonight, we have LaToya Scott with us. She is an international business coach, among a lot of other things, and we're going to get into that. But welcome, LaToya.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And guys, a little tidbit, she's in Okinawa. So we are on totally different different time zones. And so it was
different days. Yeah, we're actually Saturday morning right now.
Right. So we really appreciate you, LaToya, for making time to do this. Because I know that was a sacrifice. Before I get into giving you guys a little background on our guests and then getting in the interview, let's do a few admin things. Over here at Perspectives with Sherry, this is a safe space for women in midlife. Over here, we talk all things health, wealth, and empowerment and all the wonderful things that feed into that. If you're new, welcome. If you're watching us on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, comment, and let us know what you thought about the episode. Any questions or anything that you may have for LaToya, you can put those in the comments and I can make sure she gets those and we can connect you if need be. So make sure you interact. Also, if you are listening on our audio podcast, we are available on all platforms with audio podcasts. So follow us and leave us a review and thank you for listening. So let me give you guys some background on our wonderful guest. LaToya Scott is an award-winning entrepreneur, international business coach, and the powerhouse behind Final Touch Models, FPM Fashion Week, and Farb Magazine. She's been honored twice, and that's right, LaToya, twice. It may be more than that, but I know two times. Twice. Okay. As Military Spouse of the Year.
And three times.
Three times. That's why I wanted to ask, because I was like, listen.
Yes.
Probably got it by me. So listen, y'all, three times as the Military Spouse of the Year. That is amazing. And she's been, for over 20 years, she's been helping people build strong brands. And she's also created opportunities, and she helps people step confidently into their purpose. LaToya's journey is one of resilience, creativity, and leadership. And I'm so excited for her to be with us here tonight. So welcome, LaToya, and thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. All right. So let's get into this interview. I've been excited to interview her. A little background. So I'm going to preface it with this. I live in Swansboro, North Carolina. Yeah. And years ago, LaToya started the FTM Fashion Week in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Now, at the time, I was in a town just a bit away from Swansboro. I lived in Newport, North Carolina. And for those of you out there, that probably means zilch, nothing. But let's just say we're all in Eastern North Carolina. And there is literally nothing to do. So the reason that I want to like give you this background info, I remember when LaToya started this, my mother and I, we were really artsy and we love fashion. And I remember when the advertisement came out about it, and I was like, oh my God, that's such a great thing for us to do together. And I just want you to know that we've been doing that together since the very, very first one. Yes. And it was so great. And it has just continued to grow and be even better and better and better. And my niece actually walked in the show last year. So it's just, you know,
we so
just,
full circle.
So full circle. So yeah. So I just want to tell you that your foresight, your vision is something that blessed us tremendously. You know, you came here to little Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville and you saw we had nothing. Thank you for bringing that to the, you know, to this area. We need that. And I wish more of us, you know, we need to step up because we have people here that will patronize it and will be happy to participate. We just don't have a whole lot going on here. So thank you for having that foresight. I thought that was amazing. And that's something that's me and my mom saying. So thank you for that, LaToya. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting all of these years. It's definitely, it was definitely something that was hard to navigate through when there was nothing like that around when we started. I was just talking to a group of women here in Okinawa because someone asked me how did I gain my connections with the city, and I told them God sent me a dream and told me to go to the city and tell them what I'm doing. And I woke up and I was like, God, why would I do that? I don't even know who to speak to. Like, I didn't grow up here. Like, why would I? And God was like, listen, do what I say. And I did. And I went to the city and talked to the person that was at the front desk at the time. And she was just looking at me like, so who do you want to talk to? And I'm like, girl, I don't know. I was like, I was like, well, she was like, well, tell me what you're doing. What are you up to? And I let her know and I told her everything. And she was like, oh, I know just what you need. And she was like, I'll set you up a meeting with the city manager. And I was like, okay, that sounds about right. And yeah. So that happened. And then I came to the meeting a few weeks later and the city manager was in there. The mayor was in there. A few other like heavy hitters were in there. And I just was like frozen, like, oh my goodness. And I have to explain fashion to all of these men. And I'm like, I don't even know if they're going to understand the lingo. And it was just, it was definitely an eye-opening experience for me. It was definitely and I say eye-opening experience because it allowed me to learn how to fully step out on faith and actually listen. And I walked out of that room with a grant for $20,000 and been doing that every year since then. And it's like, if I would have listened to those fears and said, you know, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm too afraid. No, I have no idea any of these people that are in this room, or even listened to a few of the locals who told me not to go to this, not to go, and told me to beware of the city. And was like, and I've even had people, locals in the city who said they would not attend my event if I went through with this meeting. And I was just like, what? Like, what does that even mean? And so it's, you know, I think it's just, I think everything is a part of a test, a part of like, are you a part of this faith journey? Are you going to really step out on faith? You know, it's a lot of t-shirts out here walking by faith with the little red bottoms and heels. And are we really walking by faith? Are we really living that truth? And sometimes I think people aren't, like, we're too afraid sometimes to walk out on faith. And if I can encourage anything, that's one of the things I would encourage. Actually, walk out on faith. You just never know. And that has been a connection that has been going strong since year one.
That is amazing. So ladies, listen, the walking by faith is huge. And then the obedience part, you know, your fear, you were still obedient despite your fear. And I think that's a huge thing too. You know, we have to be obedient. When God gives us a vision or, you know, marching orders, we got to do it. And it can be, you know, better than we ever dreamed of. And so I will say, and I can be a testament as someone that has patronized her events. They're amazing. And it's blessed us in this small corner of North Carolina to have something to look forward to every year that brings entertainment, fashion, all the things. And so I'm glad you were, Latoya. And so I hope this is an inspiration to other ladies. So my first question to you is, you've built multiple thriving brands from Final Touch Models to FTM Fashion Week and Farm Magazine. What was the moment that first sparked your entrepreneurial fire?
The moment that truly sparked my entrepreneurial fire was when I realized how much potential there was in helping others navigate their passions and talents. I feel like that's when I truly found my calling. I had always been fascinated with the world of fashion and business. My parents are in business, real estate, my uncle, real estate, and radio and TV. And I knew I was born to create. I'm a creative. Like I paint, I draw, I do a bunch of creative things. I just didn't know how that was going to look. I had pieces of the puzzle, but didn't know how to really put that together. And when God gave me the vision to bring my business to Jacksonville, one, I was, you know, married to the military, so Jacksonville was not of the first choice of me, of a place to move to. And so I will always leave to go other places. And so when God presented the opportunity for me to plant roots, I did jump on that opportunity. And it's been a blessing ever since. I know you said, you know, it's been a blessing to the community, but it also has blessed me as well. I've learned so much, with just not only having a business, but also learning about community, planting roots, learning how to keep relationships, build relationships, nurture relationships from distance, from far away. Now, granted, I am military. I am a military spouse, military family. So we do that on a regular basis, but not necessarily on a business level. And it's just a different perspective on how to manage and maintain those relationships and build a space that, you know, is aspiring for not just models and community, but also for myself. Sometimes I do have to sit back and say, wow, like, Facebook, you know how Facebook sends you those memories, and it's like, wow, like we have come a long way, like a while.
Yes, that is amazing. So running businesses across fashion, media, and coaching—that's no small feat. We know that. How do you decide what ventures to pursue and what to say no to?
I always prioritize my ventures that align with my core values. So empowerment, community and authenticity. So if a new opportunity resonates with my mission or of inspiring others or creating some type of positive impact, then I pursue it. And I also look for venues that I'm passionate in. So like anything that's involving like uplifting the youth or something involving me having to create or build something, I say yes to that too.
Okay. Makes sense. I appreciate that.
But saying no is also just as important as saying yes. So it is a balance. Even if it does resonate, there is a balance. So I try to make sure I also keep that balance. That was something I also struggled with in the beginning, is making sure I tend to my family just as much as I tend to the business.
Oh, yeah. Because one of the things that we talk about over here, since we are geared toward women, particularly in women in midlife, is the balance and the boundaries. That's huge. And so you couldn't be as successful as you are if you did not know how, or else you would be depleted. And so listen, I get it. And I like that you said that, because I think it's always a constant reminder for women that entrepreneurs, business owners, life coaches, authors, mm-hmm. all the things, right? There's still a level where you have to carve out time for yourself, your family, the things mm-hmm. that matter. You have to have those boundaries. So I was so glad that you added that. Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about your life as a military spouse. Now, I didn't have the third one here, but I know that you've been named. I had up here for Camp Lejeune and Camp Hansen. And you could talk to us about where else you were named military spouse. I think that is so amazing. But what I want to know is, being that you had that recognition, what has that meant to you in your as a military spouse? How has that experience shaped your perspective on leadership? Because that's got to be huge.
So I was named Military Spouse of the Year for Camp Lejeune twice, which was a total honor. At the time, I did not know the program even exists. I didn't know it was a thing. And I was secretly nominated for it twice. I was secretly nominated for it. It was definitely something that I think it validated the work that I've done, not just for mm-hmm. my family, but for like the broader military community. Mm-hmm. You quickly learn that leadership isn't about titles. It's about service, resilience, and the ability to adapt in any situation. So to then be named Military Spouse of the Year for Camp Hansen here in Okinawa, I feel like military life has taught me to embrace change, take on responsibility, and then lead through support. And so as soon as I got out here, I was immediately voluntold to help with like a million things. Like because it's a group out here, Ebony Women of Okinawa. And so it's about five of them. As soon as they found out we had orders here, they were like, Latoya's coming. Latoya's going to take over the group. She's going to have us all straight and we're going to do this. And I did. I thought I was definitely coming out here for a vacation. And I feel like I do more work out here than I've done in Jacksonville. But it's definitely encouraging to know that there are people who are watching, whether it's, loudly or silently. And that helps, I guess, that helps, I don't do it for the awards and the acknowledgments, but, it does help. It helps to know that I've changed or helped change somebody's life, or that I am walking the path that God has for me, because mm-hmm. it's not me. It's definitely him. So it helps me to know that I am walking on that path, on the correct path. And just, I guess people don't really realize how hard it is to be a military spouse and be in a military community. Yes, it's a tight-knit community. Yes, it has its perks, but it also has its downfalls. Being away from your, you know, your support system, you being away from your immediate family, it does play a heavy role on the mental stability of families, military spouses, the children. And to be a part of helping someone become comfortable being away from their support system, to me, that's it's an honor. And I don't take it lightly.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously doing it and doing it well to be recognized in that way. That is amazing. So congratulations to you. Yeah, absolutely. To segue off that, military life, as you said, is very unpredictable. How have you learned to pivot in your career and personal life through deployments, relocations, and transitions? Because we always talk about the power of pivot over here. You have to do it. Yeah.
It's no question in it. So I've learned to be flexible and intentional in my approach to change. Because again, like you said, it's unpredictable. Military life is unpredictable. But I've realized embracing those transitions is part of the journey. And with every move, I've adapted my business strategy to meet new circumstances, new communities, new price ranges, and to keep my work going. I've also focused on building strong support systems, building partnerships within the community. It allows me to balance both career and personal life when I establish those partnerships and building those bonds. Because I'm a strong believer, I didn't make it to where I am by myself. It took a team. Did I go through a few teams? I have. It took a few teams for me to get where I am. I don't look at it as a bad thing. I look at it as a growth thing. You outgrow people. Some people don't see the vision. Some people do see the vision, and so they stay. And so it's just a matter of taking the good, taking the bad, learning how to grow with that and just move forward and keeping that vision at the forefront and making sure you just keep going, keep moving. There's always going to be some type of hiccup, something that's going to be unpredictable. Sure. And so just understanding that that's okay, I think is important. I think I've had someone ask me, like, how do I do it? And I'm like, I don't. I live every day just like you do. Like, when I have my days, my kids get on my nerves, that I have to pray and say, God, give me the strength, because this is, they're about to get adopted today because they get on my nerves.
Live it. Been there.
I'm a firm believer of just nothing. And this person, what stood out to me, this person said, it just seems like you have a plan and you stick to it and it works out. I'm glad it looks like that. Social media has a way of making things look extremely sparkly and awesome. But I have plans, yes. And do all of my plans work out? No, they don't. But because I am very open and flexible to when things pivot and when the shift is happening, I am completely open to shifting. I do not fight the shift. And I think that's a lot of us fight the shift because we're so stuck on this box. Like, this is my plan and I have to hit all of these bullets in my plan. And it's like, no, when that shift is happening, flow with that shift. It's like, you know, like when you in the waves, like, you don't fight the waves. You got to swim with it. Like, don't fight the waves.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. No, that's good. That's real good. Because a lot of times, you know, people say, oh, change is good, but people are very, very resistant to change. And flexibility is a must. And in your world, definitely a must. And the fact that you take it and then you not only live in it, but you make the best of it, you make it work. And that's a beautiful thing. So that's amazing. So my next question, we're going to talk now a little bit about the style, the visibility and the confidence. So as editor-in-chief of Barb Magazine and a Fashion Week founder, how do you define image power? And how can we, as midlife women, reclaim ours? Because shall we be struggling?
So image power is about owning your story. Embracing your uniqueness. It's not about fitting into the mold. I feel like we're going to always be coming back to this little mold, but about confidently expressing yourself in ways that reflect your inner strength and identity. For midlife women reclaiming their power, I think it's about shedding the social expectations and recognizing that you'll never be too old to step into your greatness. When in fact, one of our best models in the Fashion Week, she's been doing it for, I want to say 4 years now, is over 70. Like, who says you can't model over 70, right? Over 70? Who says you can't model over 40 or over 50?
That's right.
So to me, fashion and style are just tools for self-expression. And I encourage women to use them to rediscover their confidence and amplify their voice. And one of the reasons Farba Magazine was created was because when we first started, like you have been stating, there was nothing in Jacksonville. And when we were trying to get press to come to Jacksonville, everyone was thinking Jacksonville, Florida. And we're like, no, Jacksonville, North Carolina. And they're like, what?
Where?
quit prank calling us. It's like, no, there's really a Jacksonville, North Carolina. We're not playing.
There is.
And so I was helping. I'm a jack of all trades. So I was helping a local magazine who did come to help us and cover the show, and they needed help with some of the graphics, and I helped them with the graphics, and they went with a totally different look and like bypassed my look altogether. But my whole entire team was like, but your cover looked amazing. I don't know what they thought about, but I don't even think we should use them because their cover looks a mess. It's busy. And they was like, and they were so surprised that they didn't go with my cover. And so they were just like, Latoya, you need to do your own magazine. We think you can do it. And I was just like, oh, y'all trying to put something else on my plate. And so we figured out a way to still do the magazine with where it wasn't too much on my plate. And so it definitely worked out because now we're able to tell our own story. We're able to tell stories for the different community partnerships that we have and tell their stories and spread their stories around. So it was a power move, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, it was excellent. Completely excellent. What do you say to women who feel like they're too late to reinvent themselves or step into new lanes, whether in business, style, or self-worth?
It's never too late. Right. The beauty of life is that every day offers you opportunity to redefine who we are and what we want to accomplish. I would say don't let age or past experiences hold you back. Use them as stepping stones to your next chapter. Every new beginning is a chance to reinvent. And I believe that with the right mindset and support, women can step into new opportunities at any stage of life. just going back to our oldest model in the show, who's over 70, and she kills it every time. Like she walks better than some of these younger models who we fly in, who says, you know, who are professional models. So I think it's, I really don't think age has anything to do with it. I think we should all embrace who we are, where we are in life, and just don't let fear stop us from stepping into our purpose.
I agree. All right. So now we're going to shift to your coaching and mentorship. So you've coached entrepreneurs around the world. What's one mindset shift or practical habit you believe is non-negotiable for women who want to build like a global impact?
One of the most important mindset shifts is to move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. The world is full of opportunities. And yes. when you see every challenge as a chance to learn and grow, we become unstoppable. Developing consistency in your habits is key, whether it's showing up for your community or refining your skills or practicing self-care. Small intentional actions create long-term success. And so growth mindset to me, it's always important. I can't preach that enough. And I can bring that back to military life. Like, you know, we come up against uncertainty at every angle of life, whether that's personal or business. And when you look at things, circumstances, again, bringing this back in, when you look at circumstances from a growth mindset, you take all of those, you take every incident and recognize the growth within that, and you just get better each time.
Love that. So what role has faith, community, or legacy played in your journey as a coach and mentor to others?
Faith, community, and legacy are the pillars of my journey. faith has given me the strength and conviction to pursue my purpose, especially when facing challenges. My community has been my support. My support system provided me feedback and encouragement and partnership in the work that I do. And I'm open to all of that. That's a whole nother conversation, but you definitely have to be open to feedback.
Right.
And legacy reminds me that what we do today shapes the future, not just for us, but those who come after us. And as a coach and mentor, I'm committed to helping others build their legacies, knowing that the impact we make today can transform the lives tomorrow. And so that's just something I always preach. I know we have a lot of coaches out here, and their top priority is, you know, we're going to be millionaires. And it's like, well, we're going to be successful, we're going to be millionaires. But then the question always comes back that I ask people, what does success mean to you? Like, what does success mean to you? You can be the richest person on this planet and be the most depressed person on this planet. So what does, like, very, you know, true. What does success mean to you? And so I think what's important is moving and pursuing your purpose in life. And when you do that, everything else will follow.
I completely agree. I think that was excellent. Very much so. So my next question is, and we're going to talk about the power behind the brand now. you've been doing this work since 2002. And what keeps you going after all these years? How has your why evolved?
Ooh, that's a good one. You have some good questions. and I love them. What keeps me going is the impact I've been able to have on individuals and communities. Over the years, I've seen the businesses I've built, the models I've mentored, the entrepreneurs I've coached have grown. Literally, I've had, since year one of Fashion Week, I've had models who were in elementary school, and now I'm like, you know, I follow all the families. So now I'm like looking at all of these kids who are now graduated, going to college, and I'm over here like,
I know.
Yeah. And that drives me. It keeps me going. My why has evolved from simply wanting to succeed in business to wanting to build a platform for others to thrive, building a legacy. So my why went from trying to be the richest person in the room to having the biggest legacy in the room. And not just a legacy of like, look at all the things I've done, but like a legacy of empowerment, growth, and positive change. I think that's important. Like if I was to die today or tomorrow, I think the people at my funeral would say, you know, she's made a positive impact. Like, absolutely. I've never seen her talk negatively about anyone publicly. Let's say publicly.
Right.
I'm not perfect. Yeah. Publicly.
None of our right. But that's even within itself, that's a huge faith, because I'm sure there were things you probably wanted to say that you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the type. That's I'll leave it there. Yeah.
Okay. No, perfect. 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 Okay. So now I just want to ask you, this is my final question. And then I have a few things I want to say like some accolades I want to give you. But my last question to you is, what's next for you? I mean, any upcoming projects, events, or visions we should be watching for?
Yes. I'm always working on something exciting. the upcoming Fashion Week, season 12 in Jacksonville is October 25th. And I'm always working on building relationships, long-term relationships. And I have been looking for a long-term venue since year one. And so I'm excited to announce that we will be doing it at the Country Club. And they have been wanting me since like year three, I think, or year four. I could not fathom not having more than 300 people at the show. And after last year, I was like, God was like, you need to downsize. And I'm like, okay. All right, God, I'm listening. Downsize. All right. So downsize. And so we're focusing on quality versus quantity. And so that was something that I'm still learning. And not necessarily still learning. I know about, you know, quality versus quantity, but you know, when you're doing different aspects of your business, you know, especially an event, as an event planner, you want the most people there, but you know, but it has to be a time where you realize, okay, having the most people there puts me in a venue where I can't do what I need to do. So now I need to recognize that, understand that, and be okay with downsizing to get the look that I want and the vision, the vibe that I'm looking for, that I've been looking for years. And this is the first venue that has been willing to like work with us to get this going and make sure that we establish this vision and the vibe for the show. And so like my whole entire team, we're all excited about it. So
I'm excited too.
Yeah. So that's my major focus. That's one of the major focuses right now. You know, outside of, you know, collaborating with a few new designers that we're going to bring in. And since the theme this year is community, we're focusing all on local celebrities. So not necessarily local to Jacksonville, but local to North Carolina or the Carolinas. We will announce who we're going to be bringing in for the host, but it's my top two have my team like, what, really? I was just like, yeah, we'll see. Like, we'll see. I'm still waiting. We're still working it out to figure out which one of these two is going to actually do it. So I can't drop names yet until I actually finish locking one of the two in. But both of them are really good choices, and they're both from the Carolinas. And so I'm pretty excited about it. And then the magazine, we were revamping the magazine to just reflect the times that we do the show. So I'm not too overworked with keeping up with the magazine, which is great, because then we're able to put like our sponsors in the magazine, our hosts, whoever we get the hosts in the magazine. Like last year was, you know, the last 2 years was Vivica Fox. And so we were able to put her in the magazine and put her on the cover, which was awesome. And she was a sweetheart. She was definitely awesome to work with. And last year was a heavy emotional year for like my entire team. That was the first season without my older sister.
Yeah.
One of my heavy hitters, she's my operations manager. She's my eyes and ears there in Jacksonville. And she's she's also one of the designers that that walks every year. And her husband died the day of the show, and she still showed up.
I remember. So we were
all so emotional. We were there with them at the hospital prior to, because I typically come in a few weeks prior to the show. I fly in a few weeks prior to the show. So, you know, we were there for her. And me and my makeup artist, we were happy that we were able to fly in sooner. So we was, you know, there with her prior to, and then we were able to stay there after and actually be there with her for the funeral. So that was a blessing. It was a heavy, heavy show. And we still got it. I was completely surprised, still surprised that we put a show together. One of the pastors, the local pastors there in Jacksonville, North Carolina, was like one of the main people, our main supporters, who helped us, who kept us together, and made sure we had a show. He was pouring into us because all of us was like depleted. He kept pouring into us, prayed for us the entire time, pulled us when we found out what happened, pulled us all backstage, prayed for the entire team, helped us like kind of keep it together. Like when I say the glue, and that was the Father's House Church, and he helped us like tremendously, and didn't have to, like really didn't have to. But he's also one of the ones who's, you know, because that's been there since year one. I invited multiple churches, you know, to come participate, because I try to keep it, you know, family friendly, but I'm also, you know, about community. So I tried to invite multiple churches, multiple organizations that are there in Jacksonville to, you know, participate as just a gesture, like, hey, we would love for you to be there. Not necessarily asking you for anything, just love for you to be there. And that particular church has been there since year one, and will, you know, they're always there, like, you got our tickets this year? Yes, we do. And so when we got orders here, they were also the church that was like, okay, what do you need? Like, we had issues like with our storage unit, and then they were just like, okay, well, we got some space, we can store some stuff, but since this is event stuff, you know, we're going to use some of this stuff. Yeah, totally. I know y'all take care of it. Like, whatever y'all need. If I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, it's like, great.
Exactly.
And so it was definitely an awesome, awesome, awesome relationship. And when everything hit the fan last year, they were the ones who made sure we were okay, made sure everything was good. Like, because at that time, the Michelle, she wasn't able to like go around and do what I needed her to do while I was still here. So then he stepped up, that pastor stepped up, and he was like, okay, I can do it. And he did it. And like, without question, like, wasn't expecting anything. And it was, I was blown away by how, you know, the community of Jacksonville stepped up to help us in our time of need. When I was thinking, nobody really cared. But like, it was just a fashion show, nobody cared. But it definitely was, I think that was the moment that showed me like, okay, this is more than just a fashion show.
Yeah.
And so now we are gearing up towards retirement. So,
okay.
Yes. And so we actually purchased 62 acres in the Jacksonville area. And so that's where we will be retiring. And so my mindset will be shifting slightly to focus on that big project, because it's not just going to be 62 acres for us to live on, of course, because why would it just be that?
62 acres is a lot.
So, I'm working on a big project with that as well. And that's currently in the works.
Okay. All right. So I'm so excited about that, because I did see that on your Facebook page. And my husband and I, that's huge. Like, for your family, like, you know, your legacy. I have so many things. I'm going to backtrack and say this. The fashion show last year, we were aware of, you know, your loss, and my condolences to you. And then definitely to Michelle. That came out the night of. Could not believe that you all could put on the show that you put on with all that you were going through. And I will say this as someone that was sitting in the audience, it went off without a hitch. It was amazing. God was all in it. And that's what I love about divine connections. You know, we always say networks make the dream work. And we were always talking about that in business, and they do. But, you know, when they're divine connections and divine networks, they work harder than that. They become your family, you know, and they got you, and you don't even know what you need. You know what I mean? So let me just say that last year we realized that, because I actually got there early because my niece was in the show, and I wanted to speak to you. And I saw you as I came in to drop her off with all her things. And she walked for two designers, and you were upset and crying. I went, oh. And I know, and I knew, so I was like, let me just back away, whatever, you know, but the prayers were there and the support was there. And I think there were so many of us that were praying with you all, and it went off great. So let me just say that. And then really, and then I think what also, you know, you came out, and I could tell you kind of didn't want to, but you look absolutely stunning. And you addressed the crowd. That took a lot of strength. It did. Yeah, and we knew it. We felt that. Yeah. No, we felt you. We felt you. So, yeah, we were right there with you, sister. Yeah.
It did. Beautiful. My mom was there. My Irish twin, my sister, my other sister was there. My cousin was there. My nephews was there. My kids were there. So like it was deep. Like my whole family came down last year. Like they knew we were going to be there for 30 days. I brought the kids. We got an Airbnb, and everybody, they at first they were going to come down just for the week of Fashion Week, but then they were like, nope, we're all going to just be there for 30 days. So we were able to spend 30 days with everybody, and it was really beautiful. And it was needed, especially after my sister. That was extremely unexpected. And so that was beautiful. And then when that happened with Michelle, I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is, and they're now granted, they're always fighting me to get dressed, because I will be in a tracksuit the whole entire time and be fine with it. But they definitely made sure I got a dress and made sure that I put it on. And I was trying to take it off for the after party, but they made sure I kept it on. It was like, you're keeping it on. Cause me and Vivica was like, are you taking it off? Are you going back to the tracksuit? I was like, I am going back to the tracksuit. So then she went back to the tracksuit. So then when I came to the after party, she was looking at me like, I thought you said, I was like, I was trying. They literally took my tracksuit. I don't even know where it's at. So I couldn't take the dress off.
They did your tracksuit.
Because I would definitely be in that tracksuit and sneakers and be like, yeah.
Well, you look stunning. So there's that.
Thank you.
And the other thing I want to say is the platform. So my niece, though very stunning, and I wish I had prepared, because sometimes I can post a picture. Well, I always can post a picture up. I didn't prepare for that. But she got the chance. This year, she just completed her first year at North Carolina A&T State University. She is a animal science major. She wants to be a veterinarian. Very tall, gorgeous girl, but very introverted, very shy. And so when you guys did the model call, I was like, do you want to see, you know, can we, you know, she was like, okay, auntie. And I was like, really? And so she got selected, and then she got to walk for two designers. And what it did for her was amazing. And not only what it did for her, and this is why I have to give you our personal story, what it did for my family. So I was there. I'm her aunt. Her parents, her father is my little brother. He was there.
Yes.
And my sister-in-law, my parents, her grandparents were there. My nieces were there to support her. And for us, it just, you know, this little, she's not little, she's really tall, Amazon tall, but that's the whole model thing, right? But she's so just this little like meek voice. But on that night, when they put that glam on her and they put those outfits, listen, she was the way she stomped that. I was like, wait a minute, who is that? And so I just want you to know what you do for these young women, older women, little girls, you know, it's amazing, because what we watch before our eyes, it was a chance for her to tap into something that was just for her, because she's the oldest, and my other niece, I have a nephew in between them that plays basketball, but my youngest niece is a competitive cheerleader. So it's always, you know, a lot about her. She's traveling a lot. She's doing the things. She's very extroverted. But this niece, though, she, you know, she's just very introverted. And this is her thing. This is her night. And we were all celebrating her. And so I'm sure there are a gazillion stories like that. I'm sure you hear them. But I wanted to give you this one. Her name is Cadence. And she enjoyed it so much. Her and the... her makeup artists are still follow each other on Instagram. So it's like, totally. She got some connections there. And some other young ladies her age that they keep in contact with, which some of them were those really great models that you flew in. They actually are all on Instagram together. So it's really cool. So you do, like, you really do an amazing thing for the community, for young women in general, women of all ages, actually, in general. So thank you for that. Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
Yes. And so as we close this interview, because it's been amazing, are there any final words that you have for the audience?
Don't let fear stop you from following your dreams. Don't let fear stop you from pursuing your purpose. All of us has a God-given purpose, and it's meant for us to fulfill that purpose. We are meant to fulfill that purpose. And when we don't, it leaves us with an empty feeling, like, what am I supposed to be doing? And so don't let fear stop you from fulfilling that purpose, because it's what you're meant to do and what you're supposed to do. And we're always going to be faced with uncertainties. We're always going to be faced with what I guess media calls haters. You have to learn how to push through that and keep going, even in the midst of those things.
All right. Well, ladies, you heard it. And we're going to let it end on that note. Thank you so much again, LaToya Scott, for lending us your time, your wisdom, your story. It is resonating with us, and we thank you so much. And we wish you nothing but the most success in all of your ventures. I will be there in October, and I'll be supporting you again. Yes, you'll see me there.
Thank you.
Me and my family. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and so... Thank you again. And thank you, ladies, for tuning in. Always remember to continue to feed your health, build your wealth, and walk in your power. And keep tuning in, because I'm going to continue to bring you the best stories and the best content to help you grow in this stage in life, because it starts now. I mean, you can't go back. You can only go forward. So thank you, as always, for tuning in. And thank you again, LaToya, for being with us. All right.
Thank you.
Good night. Yes, sir.